This series has been great so far. I've really enjoyed getting to talk about our freedom in Christ. I have. And what all that means and how that plays out in our world and our society. I'm so very glad that we have freedom. We do. And I'm so glad that we have the freedom to gather and worship. And I'm also glad that as we've been talking this whole series, that the freedom, this freedom is absolutely ours. We are totally free in Jesus. In Jesus, we are totally and absolutely free. We can act well, we can act badly, we can love well or not so well. We are free to condemn racism in all its forms. And we are also free to worry about the message of the peaceful protesters getting lost from some opportunistic people that have taken this chance to loot and destroy property. We have the freedom to be concerned about both of those things. We are free to gather as a church, and we are free to restrain that right for the good of our neighbor, as we've done the last few months. And it's not been fun, but we've done it because we love our neighbors. Freedom. This is not an American idea. I mean, we didn't come up with it. God's been talking about freedom for thousands of years. Ultimately, we have it. Jesus gives it to us. It is part of the deal. I was talking to a friend this week. He said, "Hey, you got some time to talk about some faith stuff and some Jesus questions that I have?" And I was like, "Nah, who's got time for that?" No, right? I mean, that is the opposite. Like, that is the number one thing as a preacher you want to hear, right? Like, oh, somebody wants to talk to me about some spiritual issues? Yes, let's talk. In fact, I'll talk to you about that all day. I mean, we can talk and talk and talk. And this friend of mine, he asked me, he said, "You know, I'm just a little confused." "Okay, what are you confused about?" He said, "You know, I'm confused because," he said, I listened to sermons about freedom and how we're free, but then I listened to these other guys, these other preachers, and they say, yeah, we're free, but if we don't spend like our entire time trying to win people to Jesus, trying to tell people about Jesus, trying to basically conquer the world for Jesus, then we're not really Christians." I was like, "Well, I don't know if that's exactly what he said." "Yeah, that's not, but it's kind of the point that I get, right?" And so my question is, how do I know? How do I know if I'm being a good Christian? How do I know if I'm doing the right thing? How do I know if I'm doing enough? How do I know if I'm not doing enough? How do I know if God sees me as being lazy? How do I know if I'm doing too much and I'm neglecting other parts of my duties? Or is that it? Do I need to just worry about sharing Jesus with people and let everything else go?" I was like, "Well, all right. That's a good question. How do I know?" And what I told him was this. I said, "You know, here's the deal. The reason why Jesus had to come was because the Pharisees and the teachers of the Jewish law, they took the law, they parsed it out to where it was instead of the Ten Commandments, they made 690 commandments. And you had so many day steps you could take on the Sabbath. And if you did this, you were sinful and you had to be cleansed. And if you did that, well, you were okay. And if you didn't do this, then you were sinning by omission. And if you then it became a bunch of check boxes. And the only people that knew the right check boxes were the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. So they just got more and more and more power. And when you get so much power and there's no power to the people, what happens is that it goes to your head, and then you think you're the only thing that really matters. You forget who God is, and that's, boom, why Jesus had to come. Because what has happened is this, that the Jewish people, the leaders, they made a bunch of check boxes, a bunch of do's and don'ts. And if you do this, and you check all these boxes, and you do all these things, then you're good. And you are a good Jewish boy or a good Jewish girl. And you're forgetting the relationship with God the Father that was the whole point of the thing in the first place. And what we have done in our Christian world, in our Christian culture, in our Christian society, is that we have done the exact same thing. We have made a bunch of check boxes. Do this, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do this. Check, 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 check. And you check everything, you better make sure, check it twice, because if not, you're in danger. I said, dude, because friends talk like that. I said, man, stop worrying about that. Worry about your relationship with God the Father. Because that's the point of Jesus anyway. That makes sense. Makes sense to anybody out there? Is that freeing to anyone out there?
I haven't preached to live people for a while. I'm a little amped. I'm sorry. Christians, the easy way out. The easy way out is you make a bunch of check boxes, a bunch of rules, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Now the hard way to live in Jesus is a relationship with Him. Which you think is weird, because a relationship should be the easiest thing. But we as a people are so, we just so gravitate toward checklists and do's and don'ts and rules. And living in relationship is hard. Because we're not sure. The tough way is freedom. Deciding what to do with that freedom. The hardest thing that we have is we have spent a few months just doing that. The hard thing. The hardest thing. Freedom, we have it. And we embrace it, but we also realize that restraining that freedom, that's the hardest thing. And putting it aside for the sake of your neighbor, that is the hardest thing, but it is the most amazing thing. So this morning, we're going to look at the notion of ideally how we should use this Jesus-given freedom. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 9. If not, it'll be on the screen. Starting in 19, it says this, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ, those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." So, what is this? What do these verses tell us about how to use your Jesus-given freedom? Number one is you live your mission. I want to continue to keep this in front of us. The point of being a Christian is not to go to heaven. The point of being a Christian is not to save us from hell. The point of being a Christian is to not be a good boy or a good girl. That is not it. Those might result as being, you might get that because you are a Christian. I get that, and we will get that. We will go to heaven. We will be saved from hell. Those are true statements. But that's not the point. While those may be a result of being a Christian, the point of being a Christian is to become a member of the family of God. That's the point. All members of the family have a job, don't they? You don't just let your 14-year-old kid, your 16-year-old kid just run free and do whatever they want. They all have jobs to do, correct? Let's look at my family. Part of being a song, right? Part of being a song means that you have some things that are expected of you. A mission, if you will. What are my jobs? Well, I'm a spiritual leader. I provide food and a roof over our heads. My job is to cherish my wife above all others, to be a good daddy to my kids, to discipline. What is my wife's job? To be a spiritual leader, to cherish her husband. Does this make sense? And our children have jobs too. Elijah's job is to be cute. That's his job, right? He's not three yet. He doesn't really have jobs. But we've given Evelyn some jobs. She's got to clean a room. It's part of being a family. My alma mater a few years ago started putting this sentence, live your mission, on all their mailings and brochures and everything. It's the Lincoln Christian University picture there. Think I put it in there, yeah. And underneath it says, "Live your mission." And obviously, this must have worked because I just used it in a sermon, and I got the point. I think that this is very direct, very poignant answer to the question: how should I use this new freedom that Christ has given me? That how do I use this freedom? Well, you live your mission. That's how you use that freedom. The freedom that you receive in Jesus, you turn around with that and you live your mission. And I think based on verse 19 here, Paul would say, you are free to live your mission. Look at verse 19. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. You are free to do what you want. To hang out with whom you want. To love the people that you were with. And I think Paul would also say here, remember your mission. Remember. What is our mission? Well, I love talking about that. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And I am sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Or Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, I may be wrong in this, but I think the reason why we spend so much time infighting and arguing with each other about stuff that doesn't really matter, why do we spend so much time doing that? Is because we are focusing on everything else but the mission. Who cares how many hymns or contemporary songs we sing each week? Who cares? Who cares whether or not we have pews or seats or what color they are?
Who cares? Who cares if we call the sanctuary or the worship center or the big room where we go have church service? I mean, who cares? Literally, churches argue and fight and split over those things. Who cares? Look around. The world is on fire. It literally is on fire. The world is burning down around us. We have the water. We have the living water, John 4, right? We have living water that can save everyone. Grab a bucket, get to work, and get on mission. You hear me? Your mission is to bring water, living water, to everyone you can. Can we stop worrying about your rights? Can we stop worrying about whether or not you agree with the statement Black Lives Matter or not? There are millions of our brothers and sisters that are feeling threatened, that are feeling oppressed, that feel disregarded. Stop worrying about whether they are entitled to feel that way or not. Who cares? They do. They do. This cartoon is from 2017. And I don't know how well you can see it, but it's the 99 and the 1, right? And the 99 are all holding signs that say, "All sheep matter." And Jesus is going to the 1 that's in trouble. Listen. It doesn't matter whether or not it's right or wrong to say Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter. That's not what's important. What's important is people feel unsafe, people feel threatened, people feel like they are marginalized, and our job as the mission is to go save them, to go rescue them, to cross the divide. Even if it's not the right thing. Of course, all lives matter. But in our society today, there are some lives that are in danger right now. And the fact is that there is a significant part of this world that feels that way. So let's love them. Let's get on mission for Jesus. And how do we best do that? Well, number two is this. We start with where people are. So how do I start? How do I get on mission? Well, I have great news for you. You do not have to go to the Dominican Republic like Steve and Derek and I did a while back. You don't have to. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't even have to go to Chicago, which is a scary place right now. You merely sit down right where you are. You start with where people are around you. Always the first place to start is in your home. Always. And then your friends and your family. You start with them. And then you can move out and reach other people. But man, I tell you, if you just start with your family, your friends and family, you're going to have a lot of work to do. 1 Corinthians 9:20-21 says, "When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ." You see? Paul is telling you how to start. One of my professors at Lincoln, Professor Nichols,
He told us the key to reaching people in a new mission field. He was a missions professor. He had been in Africa for 20 years, and he'd come back, and he was now a professor at Lincoln. And he said, here's the deal. When you want to reach a new group of people, when you want to go and you want to get into their culture and who they are and become one of them, here's what you do. You go find a tree and you sit down. You go find a tree and you sit down. It makes really a lot of sense, doesn't it? You go, you sit, and you talk, and you share, and you eat among people, and you live among people, and you hang out with people, and you share in people's suffering, and you share in people's triumphs, and you just go sit down. Pretty easy, isn't it? Do you hear Paul in what Mike said? Do you hear Paul in what Professor Nichols said there? When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew. When I was with the Gentiles, I lived like the Gentiles, also that I might win some of those people to Jesus. Here is the amazing part. When you are starting with your family and with your friends, you don't need to figure them out. You don't. You got them figured out already. You've been living with them for how long? You know them. You know their context. You know what they're all about. You already know what tree to go sit underneath. Verse 22, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. The NIV translate that into, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may save some. Paul's rights, his freedoms are as nothing. What matters is whether people are being won for God, people being saved from the corrupting wickedness around them and within them, being rescued from the darkness and brought into the light. This statement has sometimes been understood as though it meant that Paul was a mere pragmatist, a spin doctor, twisting his message this way and that to suit different audiences. That wasn't it. That's not what he was saying. The message remains constant. It is the messenger who must swallow his pride, who must give up his rights, who must change his freedom into slavery. Woe be to those who trim the message so that they don't have to trim themselves. That's what N.T. Wright said. This seems like a lot of work, doesn't it? So are you telling me that what Jesus wants is for us to spend our time telling people about Jesus? Yep. Sure does. That is because we are still thinking in a checklist manner that we have a problem with this. Listen, I have to work. I have work. I have to spend time with my family. I have things to do. I have to mow my yard. I got to mow the church. I got to do all these things. How do I have time to just share people with Jesus? Well, you make time because it's the most important thing you can do. Listen, number three, remember, it's good news. I do everything, verse 23, I do everything to spread the good news and share in his blessings. Listen, this is the best news. Does it seem like it's a lot of time and effort and it's tiring? Maybe. And that is because we're still thinking of things as a checklist, as a bunch of do's and don'ts, or what do I have to do to be okay? We are still thinking of people as projects. You know, my friend that I was talking to this week, I was able to have that conversation with, he started off by asking me, do you have some time to talk about some faith stuff, some Bible questions? Yeah, I got time for that. It's the most exciting thing to talk to somebody about Jesus. It really is. I came home and we talked for like 2 hours or an hour, and I came home, and Heather was like, what in the world? What took you so long? And I was like,
Yeah, we talked about Jesus. That's all she needed to hear. And she saw the smile on my face. And she saw the joy that that conversation had produced. And she was excited for me. When we stop seeing people as projects and start seeing them for who they actually are, our friends, our family, our neighbors. And remember this. Remember who Jesus said our neighbor was. Does anybody remember? Luke 10:29. But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" And do you remember the story that Jesus told in response to that? One of the most famous stories in the Bible. It was the Good Samaritan. Listen, when we put down the bullhorn and stop seeing people as projects, stop seeing people as them or those people, and start seeing them for whom God sees them as, then none of this is work. None of it becomes work. It's not tiring to tell people about the good news that you have in Jesus. It's not work. We then go from sharing Jesus with people from something that we have to do to something that we get to do. We then gladly get to give up our rights. We get to gladly give up our rights and our privileges and our freedoms for the love that we have for God's most prized creation, for God's masterpiece, and all of our brothers and sisters that Jesus died for. We get to give up our rights so that God might use us, listen, to save the world. We're His plan. We're it, the church. Let's get on mission.